Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, whose death has destroyed death and whose resurrection has opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, welcome Greek students, first-year pastoral students, and those of you getting a couple of extra courses in before the next quarter begins. It can be kind of overwhelming to first arrive at seminary and to be greeted with the Greek curriculum and all of the challenges that come from learning the whole language of the New Testament in what amounts to 10 weeks rather than 3 to 4 semesters. It can be a little overwhelming, especially at first, but you bond pretty rapidly with your fellow classmates as you begin to actually comprehend the words of the New Testament in their original language. And as time goes on, you will become accustomed to being at the seminary and to being students. And when you get to your fieldwork church, people will be saying all kinds of nice things to you and about you, especially if you're single, and there are a few people with daughters in the congregation. As you go along, you might even be willing to believe it, that here I am, that God has plucked me out of the whole of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, to become a pastor and teacher of the church, and that I have a special light, you know, around my head, just they have them in the pictures that they draw on the stained glass windows and in all the other pieces of artwork in the church. After all, you are above average. Everybody thinks so. After all, when they did a survey of people, you know, with the typical scale of from below average to above average, and they had everybody fill out all of these qualities that they could have picked among. When they averaged it all together, it turns out in every case, everyone was above average. And so, you must be above average too. After all, you go to church every Sunday, to chapel every morning. Maybe one of you are one of those rare souls that will come at 7:30 to be here for the first service of the day, here for chapel, and then to close the day with Vespers and Compline. You are at the seminary, after all, and have set aside worldly goods in order to serve God and His church. If you are parents, you probably have made your kids go to Sunday school every Sunday and to sit in the pews. Perhaps you have made your kids become confirmed in the church. You have put money into the collection plate, and you've said wise things to everyone around you. You are, after all, better than most. Yes, you might admit that you're a wee bit sinful, but chief of sinners though you be, all the rest are worse than you. The trouble is that misses out a little bit on what's going on. After all, you are not really who you say you are. You are a sinner. And if you're willing to admit it, kind of hopelessly engaged and enmeshed in sinful thoughts from the first moment that you were born and you came out of the womb and the doctor gave you a smack and you thought all kinds of evil thoughts about him, until this very day in the morning when somebody cuts you off in traffic, when you walk across campus, when the professor does not assign things or grade you in the ways that you expect, down to petty jealousies and all that goes with it. Jesus said, after all, it is not what is on the outside that makes one dirty, but it is what comes from inside. Murder, adultery, thieving, envy, and all that goes with it. The trouble is that as much as we would like to think we are really good people, all by ourselves, we really are not. We're as much a sinner as anyone else, in or out of the church, no matter what the deeds are that accumulate as we go through life. If they're done with the least bit of sinful thought, God sees them as not good deeds at all. It is only by His grace and by His mercy that we are anything at all. And so, you really are not who you say you are. You're worse than that. But you are what God says you are. And that is marvelous beyond all telling. Because before God made the world, He looked and saw you and adopted you to be His son or daughter. He made you in that very moment, even though He knew you were going to be a sinner, to be His son or His daughter from eternity itself. Because He loved you, because He wanted to have you with Him forever, at just the right time, He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for you, to go to the cross to bear all of that sinfulness and all of the sins that we have all committed, and then to rise again so that these sins might be forgiven, that you might be redeemed, and that you might live with Him forever. But He was not done with you yet. You weren't even born yet when all this happened. He looked for you from that moment on and found you when you were born and brought you to the waters of holy baptism and set at that moment His seal upon you and said, "You are my son, you are my daughter, you belong to me, and nothing but nothing can separate you from me forever." In that moment, He also gave you faithful parents, friends, relatives, pastors, Sunday school teachers, mentors, friends, all around you Christians who walked with you along the way, who encouraged you in the faith. He nourished you with His word and then also with His own body and blood in the sacrament of Holy Communion, and to this day continues to do so. And yes, when the right time comes, He will come to bring you home with Him, to be with Him forever, and on the day of the resurrection of all flesh will give you back your body new and improved, the way it was intended from the day that God created the world. And you will be with Him and with all the faithful forever and ever in His presence. That's who you really are. Not because you deserved it, not because you worked for it, not because you got anything that you could give to God in order to bribe Him to do what He already does, which is to love you, but because He loved you before He even made you. And now, having done that, called you in eternity and in the waters of holy baptism, sealed you with His own Holy Spirit, brought you through all of these things and will keep you forever, He has other things for you to do. He now sends you to seek out others. As a citizen, He calls you to do good wherever you have a chance, to help others, to obey the law and support the government of your country as far as you are able to lift people up in prayer, and to feed them and care for them whenever they need it. As a Christian, He calls you to be His witnesses. The question is not whether or not you will be a witness. The question is whether you will be a good one or a bad one, because God has called you to do that, to witness to all these things that He has called you to do and to be. As a Christian, He calls you also to be a neighbor to everyone. All of this is true of all Christians, and someday He may call you to further service in His church, for that is why you are here at the seminary. He may call you to be a pastor, to preach His word, to administer the sacraments, to help people to grow closer to their Lord through what you can share with them. And to do this, not because you're kind of some special person who has ideas that haven't been had since the beginning of the world itself, but because He gives you yet one more thing, and that is the sacred deposit of all of His teachings of the world, of God, that have been given from the first day that he gave them to the apostles and passed through the hands of one faithful pastor to another throughout all of time, and that have been witnessed to and believed by the church from the very start. With these good gifts and with that kind of future, you need not be ashamed of the gospel, as much as the world may try to make you feel ashamed of it. For you have the keys in your hand to eternal life. You have, from that moment on, all that God wants to do for those other people who he has selected from the foundation of time and has prepared for them to enter into his kingdom until the very moment that you will become, by the great privilege he gives you, the person who will bring them into that eternal life through the sacrament of baptism and through the privilege that you will have to be with them and to walk with them every day of their life until the day that the Lord comes for them at their death or at the return of Christ, so that you can see, as God takes them into his eternal life, that he does what he says that he will do. And so, yes, you really aren't what you think you are. You really aren't what you say you are. You are what God has said that you are. You are his sons. You are his daughters, redeemed and purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ, and destined to share that with all so that they also may join us on the day of the resurrection of all flesh. Amen.